This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Thursday, the 2nd of August. Welcome to the best of The Informer. This week, we're showcasing the best journalism from your nightly news and current affairs show so far for 2018. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on our final encore show, we look back at the discussions and stories we held about PrEP, or post-exposure prophylaxis, and the developments that have occurred this year. From the PrEPx trial being run here in Victoria, to the recommendation by the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee for it to be listed on the PBS, the official announcement by the Federal Minister for Health that Truvada, the brand name of the PrEP drug, was to be listed, to the effect this has had, PrEP has been a resonating and ongoing narrative for the men who have sex with men or MSM communities, and a focal story here on The Informer.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Prior to the recommendation of PrEP being added to the PBS, in response to the previous year's attempts to do so being rejected, the PrEPx study was founded here in Victoria, supported by the Victorian Government, Alfred Health, and the then Victorian AIDS Council. On the eve of the announcement by the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee on February 9th, we ran the following story.
DNR Curie spoke to VAC CEO Simon Ruth about what this could mean. The Victorian AIDS Council has been part of facilitating the PrEPx trial that has gotten Truvada to many Victorians who, by taking one pill a day, are fighting the good fight to stop the spread of HIV.
The PrEPx research study has been examining how the use of PrEP impacts the rates of new HIV infections in Victoria. When the trial opened, it was the fastest growing trial in the world, something that Victorian AIDS Council CEO Simon Ruth was not surprised by. VAC has been campaigning for PrEP since May 2014, with Victoria leading the way with community groups such as PrEP Access Now and PrEP for Change, helping to inform and educate even further.
Victoria has been ahead of the game on wanting PrEP and particularly on community-based education about PrEP. We have 4,000 people on the Victorian trial currently, and it's a capped trial. New South Wales has about 8,000 people on their trial. So I imagine when PrEP hits the PBS, there's going to be a very large influx of people wanting to get access to the drug.
If PrEP is successfully going to be on the PBS, as Fairfax Media has reported, it could mean that from the 1st of May, exactly 4 years after VAC began PrEP campaigning, PrEP could be available for all to access across Australia. But with the PrEPx trial ending in Victoria at the end of March, what does this mean for those who have been currently taking PrEP on a daily basis as part of the trial?
So if you're on the PrEPx trial, stay tuned and the trial will be in touch with you about what it all means for you and how they will transition you across. Just on, you know, the media today, the minister is hopeful for a positive outcome. The minister already knows the outcome. So I'd be very surprised if it's anything but a positive outcome now. And it's been covered in a number of news sources. And Fairfax, it appears, may already know the results. But what it will mean, so from there, it goes through a very quick cabinet process, hopefully. Drugs are always launched on the first of the month. So it's possibly it would be a 1st of April launch. If not, we'd be very hopeful for a 1st of May launch. The drug companies would have known for a couple of months now that they've been successful. So we'd hope that they've been ramping up production and figuring out how their distribution mechanisms. And so we'd be hoping to see it available either on the 1st of April or the 1st of May. I've spoken to the Minister, the Victorian Health Minister's advisors only today, that said, if it's not the 1st of April, then they need to be thinking about how they're going to maintain people on the Victorian trial so that we don't have a case where everybody falls off for a month and has to go back to condoms, similar to what happened in Queensland a couple of years ago. I've been a CEO back now for 4 years, and in that 4 years, more has changed than in the 20 years prior. Our knowledge about undetectable viral load now and what it means for a person who's living with HIV, if you can get to undetectable and therefore be non-infectious, and also PrEP have been two incredibly huge breakthroughs, with PrEP being in a research phase around the world, and in many places around the world, we're still learning a great deal about PrEP. There have been a very small handful of transmissions, so we're still learning about PrEP, and we have that small handful of transmissions that have occurred, and we're still finding out what they mean and why they've occurred. But they're nothing compared to how many transmissions we would have had if the couple of 100,000 people who are on PrEP currently around the world had been using condoms. We know that PrEP users self-select in their people who feel that they could be at risk of contracting HIV, which is usually a good indicator that you are at risk of contracting HIV, and the people who are choosing to take what is now the most successful mechanism that we have for preventing HIV. There's still a lot to learn. There's still a lot of information occurring. In Australia too, the trials have required you to take a pill every day and to take it permanently. We may find that people want to use PrEP differently. When PrEP is available on the PBS and you're talking to your own personal doctor about it, your family GP, you may say, I only want to take it for 3 months while I'm on holiday in San Francisco or New York or Berlin. So we'll start to see people using PrEP very differently, and the whole community will be learning from that and learn what it means.
If successful, the next step is handling demand, with clinics and practitioners specialising in PrEP already at capacity around Victoria. We need to update the wider medical community about PrEP, but is that something we're really ready for?
That's a big challenge for us, moving into a phase where PrEP is no longer on trials. We're very hopeful that when they announce it on the PBS, that it will be classified as what we call an S85 drug, which means any medical practitioner can prescribe it. The downside to any medical practitioner prescribing it is that it won't just be the major gay clinics who do it, who are incredibly well informed about what PrEP means and what the risks for individuals are of taking PrEP, and the emotional issues that people go through when they first go on PrEP. We have a small number of clinics who are very, very good at gay and bisexual men's health. But PrEP, when it becomes available from any clinic, which is great for the consumer because you'll be able to go to the clinic closest to you and not have to travel to South Yarra and Kildare or Carlton. But the downside will be that you'll have doctors who are less well informed.
People may want to consider heading to the Victorian AIDS Council, ASHAM, AFAO or ACON websites, as well as PrEP Access Now and PrEP for Change, which have excellent information regarding PrEP that you can refer your GP to should you feel the need.
A lot of people have worked very hard at this. Vaccines campaigning on this for 4 years, but in Victoria, Associate Professor Edwina Wright and her colleagues at the Alfred need some recognition, and nationally the leadership coming through AFAO with Daryl O'Donnell and Bridget Hare there. And Daryl and Bridget have been campaigning on this every week for the last year. They've been flying to Canberra weekly and getting in people's ears and trying to make this happen and supporting the drug companies to put in their application. So credit needs to go where credit's due. And there's some people who have really made this happen for the community, and they need to be acknowledged.
That was DNR Curie with Simon Ruth, CEO of the then Victorian AIDS Council.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
On March 21st, it was announced by the Federal Health Minister that the HIV prevention pill PrEP would be available on the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme from April 1st, giving Australia its greatest opportunity yet to drive serious reductions in HIV transmission. That evening, Dina Curie brought us the following report.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It involves HIV negative people taking a tablet a day of an antiretroviral drug to protect them and prevent HIV infection. Today, the Minister for Health took a critical step in helping to end the transmission of HIV infection in Australia with the announcement that PrEP will be available from the 1st of April on the pharmaceutical benefit schedule. This means instead of paying $2,496 per year for the medicine, people using PrEP will pay a maximum of only $39.50 per monthly script, with a concession payment paying just $6.40. Daryl O'Donnell, the Chief Executive of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisation, AFAO, tells us more.
This is incredibly exciting news. So we had the PBAC recommendation to list PrEP just earlier in February. And so it's now moved very, very quickly from that to this announcement today that PrEP will be listed on the PBS on 1 April. So that really is quite a short turnaround in terms of making sure that, you know, everyone who can benefit from PrEP has access as early as possible. I think there's absolutely no doubt that there's been an incredible groundswell of community activism and advocacy and of brokering and advocacy from organisations as well, including AFAO, to really drive this through. And the advocacy from the community, the incredible interest in PrEP and uptake of PrEP has no doubt sent all of the right signals that this is a much needed and much welcome drug. So we really need to capitalise on this decision now. So we've made a huge step forward today with this announcement. And I think we'll look back on this announcement today in years to come and really recognise this as a really important moment in Australia's response and in the gay community's response to HIV. But of course, PrEP's only one part of the puzzle. And what we need in addition to PrEP is all of that intensive education and outreach and support for communities that mean that people not only know about PrEP and its availability, but also have access to the other information they need to look after themselves and their partners to be accessing treatment. I'm not sure we can get to virtual elimination by 2020. I think it's absolutely the right goal for us to be aiming for, to really drive HIV transmission rates in Australia to very low levels. But that's now only a couple of years away. But it is the right goal. We should be pushing ourselves as hard as we can as a community to get HIV down to the very, very lowest rates possible. So we're really happy to support that goal. And I think it's impossible to get there without PrEP. But it's not all of the puzzle, and more is needed. And I think we recognise that in the community. The government has been very responsive to this message. I think the Minister for Health has been very clear that PrEP is important, but more needs to be done. And the government's now developing an 8th national HIV strategy. So part of our advocacy with the government is to make sure that they understand that PrEP alone won't get us to the goal, that support for our organisations, support for our communities is absolutely part of what's going to get us there in the end.
PrEP is 99% effective at preventing HIV transmissions. This announcement represents a significant advancement in Australia's HIV response. But we're going a step further. The government is also providing $1.2 million over 5 years for education and awareness activities for both prescribers and affected communities about PrEP and HIV. Currently, the government is finalising the development of the 8th National HIV Strategy, which will provide the roadmap to help us continue to make dramatic reductions in new infections and improvements in health outcomes. The federal government also providing $800,000 each year to community organisations, including the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations and the National Association of People with HIV Australia, for education and awareness on HIV prevention. They're also providing $4.4 million over 2 years to support translational research activities to improve diagnosis, treatment and prevention of blood-borne viruses, including HIV.
It is a formal process. So the government, you know, in putting something on the PBS, they've got to be absolutely assured that this is good for taxpayers. And so as much as we've wanted PrEP listed, it has been really important that the government gets the right price for the drug, and they've now been able to do that. I think under the current minister, Greg Hunt, he's really taken a personal interest in this issue, and I think he really understands the public health case here. For a long time in HIV, we were doing pretty well by global standards and had a lot to be proud of. But I think in the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've become increasingly aware that, you know, actually we could be doing a lot better. New technologies, whether it's self-testing, whether it's PrEP, whether it's rapid testing, all of these things provide new tools, new ways of actually driving HIV to ever lower levels. But we need to be fully exploiting those tools. And I think the minister really understands the opportunity that all of that offers and is really keen to work towards that. And certainly that's what we're encouraging him to do. We can't do this without support for our workforces, for our educators working on the ground. And that support is desperately needed. And that's what we hope will be announced as part of the launch of the 8th National HIV Strategy.
That was Dean Arcuri speaking with Daryl O'Donnell, the Chief Executive of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
At the beginning of July...
Why is the rest of the world so obsessed with the sex lives of Australian gay and bisexual men? A paper published in The Lancet last week titled Community-Level Changes in Condom Use and Uptake of HIV Pre-Exposure Prophylaxis by Gay and Bisexual Men in Melbourne and Sydney, Australia, highlighted, amongst other things, an increase in PrEP use to protect against HIV, but a decline in condom use for men who are not taking the HIV prevention drug. Ian Muchmore speaks to Professor Martin Holt at the Centre for Social Research and Health at the University of New South Wales, now on The Informer, to find out about the data and make sure we're getting the whole picture.
What is so fascinating for the rest of the world about the sex lives of Australian gay and bisexual men?
Well, yes, it is a good question. I mean, as we know, there often sometimes appears to be somewhat prurient interest in the sex lives of gay and bisexual men. Obviously, gay and bisexual men in Australia, like in some other countries, are the population that is most affected by HIV. I guess the interest is because Melbourne and Sydney and Victoria and New South Wales more broadly have embarked on a very grand experiment to bring PrEP to a large number of gay and bisexual men in both jurisdictions. And we've seen, you know, very rapid uptake in PrEP. And our study looks at that uptake, but it also looks at the sexual practices of other gay and bisexual men, so men who may not be using PrEP themselves. And so what's interesting about that is we see this really lovely and positive embracing of PrEP by gay men who were at risk of HIV but now, of course, are successfully protected from it. And that's shown really nicely in the results that we've got, which are drawn from the Melbourne and Sydney gay community periodic surveys, which many of your listeners will be familiar with. But at the same time, it also shows that consistent condom use among other men has also fallen a bit. Now, condom use remains the primary strategy for gay and bisexual men having casual sex, and it has been the primary strategy for a really long time. But we also know that consistent condom use has declined a bit over time because gay men have found other ways to protect themselves from HIV, and whether that be attention to HIV status or increasingly knowledge of undetectable viral load, and now PrEP. And I guess the message from our research is generating attention is we're both saying, well, look, we're showing the successful rollout of PrEP at scale, and that's unusual internationally. Most countries have been a bit more reticent about promoting PrEP, even though we know it's really effective. But at the same time, it also shows a disruptive effect on condom use at a community level. And obviously, we have to pay really close attention to that, because ideally, we would like to increase PrEP use as much as we can for people who appear to be at high risk of HIV, because they will no longer be at risk. But we'd also like to sustain condom use and other protective measures in the population to get the biggest bang for our buck. And, you know, Australia is committed to trying to get HIV on an elimination pathway. And we've seen some really promising signs for guys on PrEP in New South Wales and Victoria, where, you know, so it's working incredibly well. And we've seen really promising reductions in diagnoses because of PrEP. But among other people, you know, we're not seeing those declines. And a concern is less consistent condom use in the rest of the population will undo those positive changes.
Let's not overwhelm people with the science, but can we break it down? So you're saying that you're seeing an increase, a big increase in the number of people taking PrEP in the last 2 or 3 years, accompanied by an equally rapid decrease in consistent condom use. Isn't this just what you would expect, that many, many more men are taking PrEP, and they wouldn't you be comfortable that they're less likely to use condoms?
Yes, so I think the distinction that may be lost slightly is most guys who've gone on PrEP were already not consistently using condoms before. That's what made them eligible for PrEP in the first place, or interested in it. What we're also seeing is a decline in consistent condom use among other men. So the surveys are at a community level. And so that's the concerning thing. You know, why are we seeing declines in condom use by guys who are not on PrEP themselves? And I think that's a conversation we need to have in the communities. You know, we're still at a really early stage of PrEP rollout. If you think about it, we've only just got the public listing on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. We don't even think that we're anywhere near kind of saturation coverage of PrEP for people who might benefit from it and people who are interested in it. So I think now is really the time when we're trying to encourage people to be aware that PrEP is available through the public system. There are many guys who, you know, may be periodically at risk of HIV because they don't consistently use condoms with their partners, and we'd really like them to consider PrEP now. The question, I guess, at an epidemiological level, which is, you know, will we continue to see declining HIV notifications in jurisdictions that roll out PrEP, is we don't want to see condom use fall too fast among guys who are not on PrEP. We don't expect everybody will want to go on PrEP. It may not be for everyone. But we know from the last couple of years that, you know, many parts of the country, like, so outside Victoria and New South Wales have had relatively low levels of access to PrEP, and we actually are expecting levels of PrEP use to increase around the country, which we're hoping will have a national impact on the HIV epidemic.
Is this about education, or is it that some gay and bisexual men are ignorant or complacent or irresponsible? We see all sorts of language bandied around in the media.
Yes, and that language is really depressing and kind of unhelpful. If you think about, I've never seen any research that has indicated that gay men are complacent or don't care about HIV. Like, in fact, the engagement with PrEP in the last 2 years really, and, you know, the accounts of men who come out of those studies showed, you know, this profound, you know, that men were really concerned about PrEP, about HIV, and then going on PrEP, they experienced profound relief from fear of infection. And so that's one of the really amazing things it offers. And recklessness, you know, some critical commentators might point at that, go, well, why are we seeing this declining condom use? Well, within that, you'll have some guys who are actually actually having sex with guys on PrEP or men with undetectable viral load. So that interaction is safe. But we would also prefer those guys themselves, if they're doing that a lot, we would prefer that they were themselves protected by using PrEP. And I have a question about, like, other guys where perhaps they're not sure about the status of their partners or whether their partners are taking PrEP or whether they're on treatment or not. In those situations, we really still want men to use condoms if they're not certain about the status of their partner or whether their partner's on PrEP or has got viral suppression. And the survey data, it masks a bit of that, but, you know, in there, that is our concern, that just, you know, the norm of using condoms every time has changed, because obviously more guys are aware now that there are a range of options that they can choose from. However, we do want every gay man who's sexually active to choose a strategy that works for them and not just hope that other people are doing the right thing or that sex in general has got safer because they're aware other people are using PrEP. You know, we want everybody to play their part.
Do you think that there's a group of gay men or bisexual men and they're HIV negative, or maybe they're not sure, they're not taking PrEP and they're sort of taking it for granted that someone else is making the risk reduction strategies for them?
We don't know that for sure. There is a bit of qualitative research evidence from, you know, interviews with guys on PrEP who are saying they're coming across situations where they sort of suspect they're being sought out as partners, prevention by proxy, you might call it, you know, where, like, their sexual partners are aware that if they have condomless sex, it's going to be safe for them, but they're not on PrEP themselves. I'm not sure at a community level that we're clear about that. It may just be that this, in the early stage of rollout, you know, that practices are a bit disrupted. Some of the other areas where there is concern are among, you know, recent migrants who've arrived in Australia who may know less about HIV and sexual health and prevention practices. Medicare ineligible people, also perhaps from who've recently arrived from overseas. And there are some, yes, structural questions there about, even if they're aware of PrEP, they may not know how they can access it. And I think those need to be addressed. In terms of awareness and knowledge, like, I mean, the surveys, the same surveys on which the Lancet HIV paper is based, show very rapid increase in awareness of PrEP among gay and bisexual men in Melbourne and Sydney especially. I mean, pretty much everybody has heard of it now. So I'm not sure it's awareness. Maybe knowledge, when we've looked at that, can be a bit patchy. People might not quite understand what it entails, that, you know, when it was first rolled out in Australia in the last few years, it involved, you know, we were recommending that people take a pill every day, and that's what the majority of guys using PrEP are doing at the moment. I mean, recently a new option has been endorsed by doctors in Australia, HIV doctors, who've said, you know, that event-based dosing may work better for people who are not sexually active on a regular basis. And to summarise that as simply as I can, that's based on a big European study that was done that found that, you know, if you take two pills a few hours before you have sex, and then you take a pill the next day and a pill the day after around the sexual event, that is as effective as daily dosing in preventing HIV. And so recently the experts in the clinical domain have endorsed that as a particular option. And I think that's kind of an interesting one, because that might encourage more engagement for men who might have concerns about taking medication every day or concerns about side effects. I mean, the studies seem to be showing that side effects are relatively minimal, and they're fairly temporary for people who start on PrEP. But, you know, it's understandable. Some people might go, I'm not sure I want to take medication every day. In that situation, if they're still interested, though, I would encourage that they talk to their GP or a specialist at a sexual health clinic about their options.
That was Ian Muchamore with Professor Martin Holt at the Centre for Social Research and Health at the University of New South Wales. Finally, at the beginning of July, here on The Informer, we had the privilege of bringing you an exclusive interview with the Melbourne man who contracted HIV while taking PrEP. Rather than attempt to find just a single snippet of this amazing interview, I would like to direct our listeners who may have missed it to listen to the full episode interview available at joy.org.au/The Informer.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
And that's it for the final episode of The Best of The Informer, showcasing the best journalism from your nightly news and current affairs show so far for 2018. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. After tonight's episode, as Joy gears up for its spring programming, The Informer will be going on hiatus. Joy is committed to bringing news and current affairs from an LGBTIQ perspective to our audience, so we look forward to having The Informer back on the airwaves soon. The Informer is produced and presented by volunteers, and Joy would like to take a moment to acknowledge the hard work that is put into the show every night to provide this voice for our communities. Joy and the Informer team would also like to thank its executive producer, Dean Arcuri, whose tireless efforts over the past 12 months have seen the Informer rise to new heights. Podcast downloads are up, exclusive episodes and stories broken, and a true platform was built for our voice to be heard. Thank you, Dean, and to the whole Informer team. We look forward to being back on the airwaves very soon. In the meantime, please continue to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.